coming up on this episode of The Break Room.
But she could have very well been a therapist before and broken her own way.
Right.
And now is just in the hospital with him. And maybe he's, as a patient, still trying to help him through whatever he's going through. And then, you know, now they just get into, you know, shenanigans together. But
shenanigans.
We'll call hitting somebody with a bar stool.
In blowing up a building.
Shenanigans.
Just like the Olsen twins.
So,
that should be the third movie, Joker, colon, shenanigans.
Yeah, shenanigans, yeah, shenanigans and more.
Welcome back to The Break Room. Hello. Much ado about Joker, folie ado. The first trailer for the film is out now. Joining me today to discuss it are Tom Michelson.
Hey guys, how's it? Thanks for having me. Looking forward for some Joker.
Woo, and Jordan Morris.
Hi everybody, we live in a society. I just want everybody to know we live in a society.
And we live in New York, Joker's right there.
Oh, that's where the stairs are actually right there. Yeah,
we moved the studio today. We are broadcasting live from New York as the sun sets.
We're hardcore fans. So
fans out there. Without further ado, let's watch the trailer. If you don't want to watch the trailer, don't watch it. But with us, and if you're watching on YouTube, we can't show all of it because of copyright. So sorry about that. Let's watch it.
Love these. I love that. That's such a good line. And let's get out of here is so great.
Classic.
I feel like every shot of this movie will be like airbrushed onto a van at some point. Or like someone's back tattoo.
Oh, guaranteed, Joker.
They're dragging him on the ground. Oh, look at that wide angle lens. His arm is like.
Oh my gosh. That's his other classic move.
The
arm's open. Oh man. Oh,
why so serious, everybody?
First take, I bet they got that on the first take.
Yeah.
Damn.
I know, just like, it takes a lot to line that kind of stuff up to production. And it's like, they either did it for real or that's just all CG. They're like, just do it.
Yeah, do it and we'll line it up.
Yeah.
No, I bet you it's for real.
Yeah, I mean, I am like, I'm pretty hot and cold on that first movie. Like, there's some great things about it. There's some not great things about it. But like, that trailer is so well done. Just as far as like trailers go. Like, part of me almost doesn't want to see the movie because I'm like, trailer probably like whips its ass. I mean, I am like in, and I will see the movie. But
that's a good trailer. Good trailer.
Such a good trailer.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's funny, that movie's been, it's been so many years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But within seconds, I'm back in that mood. They've done such a good job capturing everything.
I mean, director Todd Phillips, right? He's returning. Yeah. He's writing the movie. He wrote the second movie as well. And it does seem very consistently in the world that it set up for itself.
Right.
A lot of big names in this too, besides Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga. We have Steve Coogan, who showed up on the trailer. Apparently Brendan Gleeson, Banshees of Inisherin, one of many credits. He's in this as well. Zazie Beetz potentially returning.
So is it interesting? Does that mean it's a flashback, or does that answer some questions about the first one, right?
Yeah, that... Right, that could be really odd. Like, he might go and visit her. I don't know.
Yeah, well, because if I recall, the first one it was left kind of. Well, we weren't sure what was real and what wasn't, and he might have murdered her, right?
Oh yeah.
So if we see her,
I have forgotten a lot about that movie. Yeah. I'm realizing I'm like, oh yeah, that happened.
Yeah, and I think this trailer unlocks so much because it's getting me back in that mindset. But yeah, I think I think she died, and so. Or at least that's what they were saying, you know, with this unreliable narrator. So, if we see her, it's either going to be a flashback or they're going to answer some questions about what's real.
And it seems like some of the musical numbers will be in people's heads and some of them will be in the real world.
Right.
So, yeah, I think this movie will do a lot of what's real and what's not stuff,
which they did so well in the first one.
And this looks like a blast. I think... Some things you could say about that first one is like, it ain't fun, it's kind of a bummer. This one is gonna add a little bit of fun, laughter. I mean, obviously it will still be very dark, maybe it'll be something one might want to rewatch.
And with Harley in general as a character, someone who brings a lot of levity to the Joker.
Yeah,
so this is an opportunity to, as a character with Harley, to actually lighten things up a little, but
right.
I don't think it's gonna get too light.
I do think that like, having had a great segue, and I said, you know, guys, we're gonna do this, and now I'm gonna have to cut it.
Think about it. Okay. I've got an observation.
Okay.
So we were actually talking about the first movie before we started the stream, and you know, you brought up that like the first movie is like, you know, kind of doing the plot of The King of Comedy, that great 70s Scorsese movie. Mm-hmm. And I know this one is a musical, and I do have an insider that told me that it's just Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia 3.
Mamma Mia.
Yeah. So actually, Meryl Streep's in this.
Meryl Streep's in it.
Confirmed, guys. Confirmed.
They all go to Greece. They put on linen and they look great. Everybody.
Who's the father?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Is it real? Is it not?
I do remember what I was going to say now. So with that first movie where we're not sure what's real and what's not, right? Like, it seems like the only way to kind of embrace the sequel is to be like, a lot more is just not gonna be real. Like, we have to lean into, like, if things aren't gonna be real, let's like fully lean into it. And like, you can see that on display here with all the colors and everything, and just like, even the way, I mean, I said it during the trailer, but even the way you see his arm when he's doing that classic kind of thing, the way the lens is capturing his arm to feel so stretched out like that, it just feels so otherworldly.
Or even them cutting, like them having an intimate dance and then immediately cutting to them being in the street. And so it's like, immediately we're like jumping back and forth between reality and not maybe. And, and they're just probably going to lean so heavy into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I think, it does look cool. I'm very curious.
It looks cool. Yeah. Good trailer.
So first thing before I get into our question, I realize I want to ask you guys, what's your mileage on Lady Gaga as an actor? Because I've only really seen her in A Star Is Born, and I liked her in it. I think I have like mixed feelings about the movie overall, but I was like, I think she's like good, you know?
Yeah, I always like Lady Gaga's acting. Mm-hmm. I think she's good in A Star Is Born. House of Gucci is like a mixed bag of a movie. It has a lot of good stuff in it, and I think she's one of the great things in it. I think she's really funny, like does the campy over the top really well, which I think, you know, will probably serve her well in this movie.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, I always like her when she does bits on SNL. I do think, so I'm like, Lady Gaga is one of the things like I'm excited about.
Yeah, no, I like her a lot too. I haven't seen House of Gucci, but in A Star Is Born, you know, it's one of those where I thought she was fantastic and great, but it's how much are you playing yourself? You know, like, she's a musician, she's bringing out, she's actually lived a lot of that type of life, and it's maybe in a more fantastic kind of way. So it's interesting to then get to see her do something which is like a real, real character piece, as we know with Joaquin Phoenix and stuff. So it'll be interesting to see her take on that world, let alone that character, such an iconic
character. A character that's been even made more iconic in recent years with like Margot Robbie's portrayal of it too, right? And how is she going to differ it? And it kind of like in that vein, you know, we see Harley here being looks like she's another one of the patients in this
right scene. I noticed
that's kind of an interesting little flip on the canon.
So what do you think like, do you think this movie is like concerned with her being like a therapist, like who's maybe fallen from grace or something? Or like, do you think it's gonna do any of the comic backstory that we know?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, when I watch the trailer, I do have a tiny angry nerd in my brain. It's like, she's not a doctor. She's supposed to be Joker's doctor. Back in the animated series, and she was really, you know, and it's like, all right, fucking calm down, brain nerd. Like, shut the fuck up. So, you know, but I think once you get past that, like, this is different than I recognize it. Like, I think something that DC does really, really well is they, like, give you a lot of different flavors of their stuff, right? Mm. And they give you a lot of different versions. Like, DC has been playing with multiverse stuff, like, you know, since the, you know,
80s comics. Or whatever.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you do have the funny Harley on HBO Max, which is a great show, by the way. Mm-hmm. If you like Harley Quinn, God, watch that show.
So good.
And you know, and she's got a little bit of a different backstory, and then Margot Robbie has a little bit of a different backstory. So I think it's like DC does a nice job of like assuming we can handle that these are different universes, and I really like that about their output. I think it's cool, and I think like once you maybe get past the like, this isn't what I recognize. Like, it's a cool idea. Like, what if Harley was in the hospital? And I do love the idea that she used to be a doctor there and maybe went crazy. So, like, that, if that's what they're going for, I think it's neat.
Yeah, one of the things that, you know, that especially I look for or that I think about with Harley is that she was in a lot of the stories, isn't she the doctor, the psychiatrist who went crazy from working with the Joker, trying to cure him? Yeah. So in this, obviously, it looks like that's not going to happen. So maybe she could have very well been a therapist before and broken her own way, and now is just in the hospital with him, and maybe is as a patient still trying to help him through whatever he's going through, and then No, now they just get into, you know, shenanigans together. But
shenanigans.
That's what we'll call hitting somebody with a bar stool.
Blowing up a building.
Shenanigans.
Just like the Olsen twins.
So yeah,
that should be the third movie, Joker colon shenanigans.
Yeah, shenanigans. Yeah, shenanigans and more. But as we know in the first movie too, they've been able to pick and choose what they want and create brand new things. Like, they're not at all concerned about staying with the canon and being, you know, slaves of the material. So it'll be great to see a new take on this, because that's what this whole thing is. It's specifically not tied to anything as far as we know.
Yeah. I mean, like, do you think, so obviously DC has, you know, James Gunn's like DCU, but then there's going to be the Elseworlds projects, which like includes Robert Pattinson's Batman, Matt Reeves' Batman. Robert Pattinson. Do you think they like try to connect this? Do you think Warner Brothers is like, they're like, you know what, we'll let this one be its own thing? Or do you think they're gonna be like, hey, Todd Phillips, are you really cool? You, Matt Reeves, you know.
We can open up a portal.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
A portal solves anything.
Just have Joaquin like have a portal open, have him turn around and look like Nicolas Cage's CG Superman.
Oh my god. Yeah, exactly.
I think that could have happened, but after seeing what it would look like in The Flash, it didn't land, I don't think James Gunn is gonna roll that dice again.
And you know, and it would be nice if, you know, you did want to do crossover stuff, if there was another explanation other than portals, you know, and it's like, and I think at the end of the first Joker movie, you saw like him inspiring other Jokers. Do we go into a story where he is the inspiration for the, you know, Barry
other Banshee of Inisherin.
Whoever the Pattinson Joker is. It's like, it'd be a nice way, it'd be kind of cool if they did want to connect these, if there was some way other than multiverse portals, but it'd be cool.
It'd be really cool. I just think that they're not gonna go for doing that just to get fans excited about it. Yeah, you know, they've already got like, well, this was already being done before James Gunn even came on board. So you know, this is definitely gonna be its own thing. It was already, and then now that James Gunn is building this universe, I think he'll want to have some time to establish his own footprint and establish his own DCU film slate before even, you know, considering maybe tying these things together. And by then, who knows, maybe we'll have a Joker 3. I'm not sure. I'm surprised that Joaquin Phoenix came back, to be honest.
I think there must be something that really interests him about the character and
the character. The movie only made $1 billion. They have extra to give him this time. It's pretty amazing.
I do think there is a world where you could see, like, I mean, we don't know the direction that Andy Muschietti is going to take Batman Brave and the Bold.
Right.
But there is a world that, like, you know, we don't know what that Arkham looks like yet. That could be this Arkham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, like, the Brave and the Bold comics are, like, a little more light and fun. And I think they're calling it Brave and the Bold as a little bit of a signifier. Like, hey, this isn't going to be the hyper dark one. It might be a little more fun. It's going to be Batman and Damian or a Robin. So I think that, like, whatever they're doing in the Gunniverse. They seem to be pointing to, like, it's not going to be as dark as the others.
And I just realized, because, if they do a new thing, this will be the third Gotham we have in a DC movie set, because we have this Joker Gotham, we'll have the Batmanverse Gotham, we'll have a potential Brave and the Bold if nothing is being connected, which is possible and it's fine. The audiences are smart enough these days for that to not be an issue. But I didn't realize that. So right now they're going to have so many Bruce Waynes potentially. Yeah. So many.
Also, just realizing I called Gotham Arkham before.
You're gonna get roasted.
I didn't catch it.
Thanks for watching.
Actually, no, I did catch it. I was just silently mad at you. Sorry. Don't worry, guys.
Unsubscribe. I think to kind of put a pin on that, it could be interesting to use if they were to connect it for any reason, right? Let's just say for the Brave and the Bold, that they could use this as the backstory and not have this Joker be the same, like, that level of violence, but just to be like, hey, this is where he came from, and this is what he's going to be doing.
And this Arthur Fleck verse, the Joaquin Phoenix one, is in the 80s, right? Or 70s still? Could still have it, you could still say, James Gunn could be like, no, this is the same Gotham.
Right.
But now where it's, you know, it's 2024.
Right?
Actually, that way you could have be completely removed from that and not have to feel like, you know, you're owed to mention or, you know,
that would be, that to me is like a satisfying way to do it.
Yeah,
it would be like fun and make everything feel a little more connected without without being like so.
Because the Joker doesn't even really need an origin, so it's fun that they're even doing these movies.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Come Brave and the Bold, when a new Joker pops up, you don't even need to say, by the way, he was inspired by Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga. Yeah, you don't need to do that, really, actually.
And I do understand why you want to do Joker origin stuff and Joker backstory stuff, because he's such a great character.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody loves him, and you want as much, you know, Joker stuff as possible.
Yeah.
But like, part of what makes him so cool is the no origin.
Yes.
Every time they try and do it, it's like not as cool as the one in your head.
Yep.
And you know, it's not that, and I'm not saying that people shouldn't try or that this.
Because the first movie was pretty amazing that they were able to even land something.
Yeah.
As far, because I remember hearing about a Joker origin movie and I was like, oh no, this is going to be so
bad.
Don't
do it.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. But they you know, were tried to hit the smallest of targets and they somehow stuck the landing. So, so I mean, you know, I give them a lot of credit, but I don't have a lot of confidence it could be done again in a satisfying way. And so to have him just be this, this villain that just kind of comes in like, you know, like a wave of fire and then leaves is really fun. You know what I mean? Like Heath Ledger. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and and like, you know, hey, The Dark Knight, it's a great movie. But like,
hot take.
Like, not to sit here and like talk about that for, you know, too long, but like, you know, the shit where he's telling people different origins is so cool.
So cool.
And and you know, and I think that like, these origin-y things kind of take away some of that cool, but like, but you know, I understand what
Let's watch the Dark Knight trailer too while we're
here. Yeah,
let's get that going. Rock and roll it.
Order some pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
Go through every Nolan movie.
Nolan movie marathon.
Oh, man, let's do it.
All right, so before we get into some of the
that's okay on YouTube, right? We can just show a
whole Warner Brothers movie.
Yeah, the Oppenheimer cut.
Yeah. before we get into some of the musical aspect and the R-ratingness of it all, too, I want to shout out nerdriot.shop. That's where you can pick up some merch to support the channel. We've got a ton of X-Men-inspired designs. Tom's wearing a classic shirt. We've got this shirt.
Nice.
Also on Jordan's mug.
Yeah, X-Men 97.
That Storm shirt.
Oh, hell yeah.
And we also have this Xavier shirt.
Oh, my God.
That's dope.
Great, and there's so many cool stuff. So many cool stuff. That's grammatically correct.
It's
so much cool stuff.
So many cool stuff. How much stuff do you want?
So many.
Have all the stuff.
So many
for you to get.
But yeah, picking up some merch is the best way to support the channel. Tons of great designs on there, and some break room stuff coming soon. I know an email went out about it, and people are like, "Where is it?"
It's coming soon.
There has to be an announcement video. Dashiell knows I was working really hard on it today. You'll see it very, very shortly. But that's nerdriot.shop. All right, so.
And you do a good job with the plugs. We roast you for the, you do a good job. They're hard, plugs are hard.
Do great.
all right, so this movie, Joker Folie à Deux, is gonna be R-rated. This and its predecessor was also R-rated. And as we were saying, like, this is kind of like, you know, the extreme version of like the extremes of a dark, grittier kind of like superhero thing, right? This is not a superhero, but it's a comic book
IP, right?
The inclusion of the musical aspect, though, is interesting. Do you think that this is gonna move the needle back towards like, I don't know, like maybe a lighter tone, right? Like,
Right?
How do you guys think
a different kind of movie, even, right?
Yeah. How do you guys feel about this?
You know, it's a big swing, and it's a cool big swing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think something that I feel like you hear about in the movie press recently is the like surprise musical, where like you bury the musical numbers and you don't show them in the trailer. I think that was the thing with like the Mean Girls reboot, right? Is that it's a musical, but they didn't show it in the trailer.
The Wonka prequel.
Yeah. I think it is cool that they're saying this is a musical.
Right.
Here are some of the musical numbers. So I think that's neat and shows some like courage in their product.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like the first movie probably has a real hardcore fan base who might not like musicals
because they're expecting a certain thing.
Cultural association or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it is cool.
Less singing,
that
more
like,
face bashing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Right.
For sure. Maybe they just want face bashing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's neat and I appreciate the swing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it's good to, if you're coming back for a sequel, to do something new. I mean, that's the biggest way to fail is to just do the same thing over again. So coming with a musical is a fun idea. And also with these characters, with them struggling with what's real and what's not, it'll be really fun to how they incorporate that. And that way I think you can get away with some of this. Because if a lot of it's in their head, you know that you can say no, like they weren't really singing, right? Yeah, you know, yeah, they were on the streets, you know, like just acting up and causing a traffic jam or whatever you want to say, dancing in the streets crazy. So, like, I think that it'll be a fun way for them to add a new element to the show, and actually that's probably one of the reasons why Lady Gaga got it, because they want her to sing in this.
Yeah.
Is it true? I heard that it's going to be covers, not original songs, right?
So it's going to be like a jukebox musical, so songs that we already know, which I think tips the scale in its favor when it comes to musicals, right? I think a lot of the turnoff for people when it comes to musicals, not for me personally, just talking about the audience, general audience, is like they don't know what to expect with like original.
It's hard to, with original music. If you don't get it, like, you know, the rest of your thing is struggling after that, right? Yeah. If you don't capture the audience with those songs.
Right. And we don't know right now if Lady Gaga does have an original song in this or if there are any original songs to begin with. I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't at least one.
My Joker face, Joker face. That's what she's gonna do.
Oh my god.
If they don't do that, I'm gonna be very sad. Very sad. I'm gonna be like, boo this man.
Yeah,
boo.
It's right there.
It's right there. Or when the credits hit, I'll just be in the theater going, Mama Joker.
Yeah, whole audience gets up and starts dancing.
That's great. I mean, Lady Gaga's gonna want an EGOT, huh?
This is how you do it.
Yeah. So I'll be
she
really
could
curious.
Maybe get two for this. Could she get song and could she get her Grammy and her Oscar from the same movie?
That would be nuts. Double Oscars, Oscar for song, Oscar for
That's true. Yeah, it could. God. That would be wild.
That would be nuts.
Big year for her.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of pressure on this movie and on her, but I'm sure that was another reason why, you know, she'd want to take it as an artist is to push herself, but also it's such a huge, you know, intense movie where you're really doing a lot of character work. I mean, that's what actors love to do, you know what I mean?
Just take something. And also, like, you know,
take big swings.
Exactly. That's what it's going to do. She's just going to be swinging through this. And
she has a baseball bat. Harley Quinn has a bat.
Literal swings.
You see Joaquin Phoenix, like, so dedicated to the performance again, right? He's being dragged on the floor in that trailer. And
the fact that he lost all that weight again?
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the best scenes in that first movie, right, is when you see his back and he's just kind of like contorting, right?
Yeah,
he's just taking off his shirt or like stretching or something.
He put a shirt on or something, but
the vertebrae,
every bone in his body. Jeez,
chilling.
Louise.
He's great.
Yeah,
another hot take for the break room. Joaquin Phoenix, good actor.
Yeah,
you guys ever see you were never really here?
I was gonna bring that up.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
I know.
It is a hitman movie where he plays kind of an eccentric hitman who kills people.
The one where he went on the press tour and everyone thought he went a little off the deep end. Remember?
But it was all
bits for the movie.
Oh, I think this is something else. I think that's like I'm a rapper now movie.
You're right.
And I think this.
But
is
no,
a great
I,
movie.
I know that. I know the movie. I haven't seen it though.
This movie also. I remember when I saw Joker the first time. I was like, just doing You Were Never Really Here.
Yeah.
I mean, they were really just doing King of Comedy. But I was like,
yes.
They were really doing a lot of things.
Yeah. You were never really King of Comedy.
But I think this is like, what a fun excuse to talk about how good this movie is. And I think this is the movie when you see Joker, you want to be watching this.
It's great. He has like an ailing mother too. He's taking care of her. And it's like one of the stories I remember hearing the director, I want to make sure I get her name, Lynn Ramsey, talk about in a DGA podcast was she was like, Joaquin came up to me and he was like, hey, can I try something on the next tape?
Uh-huh.
And she was like, yeah, okay, go for it. And the scene was him answering a door, opening a door so he could get like food or like some, like it was actually like a handoff or something, but he opens the door and he doesn't tell anyone he's gonna do this. Opens the door and he punches the other actor.
Because
it's like a delivery drive, like someone he is like, hey, you fucked up the job, right? And so he punches him and Lynn Ramsey's just like shocked and she's like, Joaquin, why did you do that?
Yeah.
And I don't remember if the other actor was actually in on it or if it was just like emotion enough, right? Because it's one of those things where it's like, he's so committed, but sometimes it can be a tunnel vision.
But it comes across. You shouldn't do that.
It comes across really great on the screen.
You shouldn't punch your coworkers unless they know.
Hopefully, it was a thing where he had it worked out with the actor beforehand.
But he didn't tell the director. It was very surprising to her. But yeah, it's like he is making these.
I just imagine him like they're already rolling, and he opens the door, and then he says, "I'm gonna punch you." And the guy says, what? Boom! Like, we talked about it. I told him. I told him I was going to do it. Honestly, that's probably what happened. He's like, what did you say? Boom!
Oh, gosh. All right. So if you have some questions, if you're watching live on Twitch, tag Breakroom NR. I have some questions from earlier, though. Kobe Wan Kenobi asking, I know Murray is dead. Murray being Robert De Niro's talk show host character. But do you think we could possibly see him in a hallucination or a flashback?
Sure, yeah.
Well, yeah, Zazie Beetz is on the table, right? for sure.
Yeah, and I think you want to get all those people back for cameos, and you got kind of an easy method to do that.
What about Mark Maron? Is he...
Oh, it would be great to see Maron. I don't know if he died.
Yeah, I don't think he died. He just was there, but is he not going to be in this?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I just remembered him right now when we talked about De Niro.
Yeah, let's see. I'm not seeing his name on the
IMDb. Because he was his manager, is that right?
Yeah.
So his character's probably watching, and after that show, he's probably like, I don't need to represent this guy anymore. Maybe that's what happened. We're going in a different direction.
Like,
you know what? You do you. I'm going to represent other clients. Let's not.
You're so busy.
It's not me, it's you. I mean, it's not you, it's me to get
the good representation. You deserve.
Yeah. Phantom 101529 saying, I don't know if it's just the visuals, but even without hearing any of the music, it feels very much like a true love story between Harley and Joker. Yeah, what do you think? We didn't really talk about that too much. What do you think the love story element of this is going to be? It does very much seem like they are finding each other, right? The last line of the trailer is something like, I'm not alone anymore, right?
Right. And I think it's going to be about, because the one thing the first movie did so well is to show how broken people, you know, fall through the cracks, right? Mm-hmm, yeah. And how we leave them behind. And so this is probably gonna be a movie about two broken people finding each other.
Yeah.
And helping each other out and lifting each other up, maybe not positive ways, with some faces being bashed in. But I think it'll be a way of them finding each other, finding maybe a new purpose, a new reason in life, but in their own twisted Joker Harley way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. In recent Harley media, right? Mm-hmm. Like the HBO Max show and, the James Gunn, the Suicide Squad, and kind of all the Margot Robbie stuff. And even in the comics right now, like, the idea seems to be let's do Harley stuff without the Joker.
Right.
She's her own character. Yeah. She's more than just his sidekick, a little more of a hero and stuff. Which I think is really cool. I think it's great because she was, a sidekick or a girlfriend character to begin with. And like, it's great to see her on her own and with other teams and stuff like that. But I mean, I think because they are doing that, we have not gotten a Joker Harley movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we have not had a Joker Harley story in a while in, DC media.
Right.
So it's neat. I mean, you don't want it to be toxic, right? Like, you don't want it to be, and they're murderers and they're killing everyone. So, like, it'll
be its own kind of toxic. It'll be, but not with each other, maybe, or as much.
So, it'll be interesting to see if they are going to try and do a version that's like, and it seems like maybe that's kind of what they're doing with making her a patient, is like, let's have these people be more equals as opposed to like, her being his lackey, or her needing him.
Because, like you were saying, like in the comments and where we are now, she's grown past him, now become agency of her own, and she's become her own character. But here, it's a little bit different of a take. It's not the same origin, and it's giving them an opportunity to find each other for the first time.
Yeah, that's true. So I think it could be done really neat, and isn't something we've seen in a while. So it could be great.
Yeah, that's a great point. I like this comment. JDJVCE says, we found love in a hopeless place and crazy in love. Gotta be part of the song.
Do you guys
have any songs you think would be like really fun for this, or anything spring to mind? I know it's a hard question. There's a huge lexicon of songs out there.
Any songs of Joker smiles?
I do like that it seems like they're leaning a little more like classic show tunes. That's kind of fun. It seems like there's a lot of little musical references in the trailer that maybe I don't know, because I'm not a super musical person.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Brandon Barrick today?
Where's Brandon Barrick? This is his beat. We found love in a hopeless place and crazy in love.
Crazy in love. Those are good ones. Those are really good ones.
But I would be cool if they kept it classic,
Yeah.
I think that's kind of neat and goes with the thing.
As much as
you want to hear, cooler needle drops or something, I do like it if they keep it more.
Or hear Lady Gaga's version of WAP or something.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking like they could do anything. That's the thing.
They could do anything.
It doesn't even have to be like crazy, songs that have to do with Crazy or Joker or love. It could just be anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Um, They can do Semi-Charm Kind of Life.
I don't know.
They can do. They can do all. They can do Truly Madly Deeply. There you go. All these old, old songs. Yeah,
that'd be great. Some great '90s alternative.
Yes, that'd be great.
I do think it's important for them to keep things of the time, right?
Yeah,
it does feel like very conscious of that, which is a good point. I hadn't really quite clocked that until you had said that.
Quick side tangent. Shutter Island, right?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for Shutter Island if you haven't seen that.
take the headphones out now if you haven't seen Shutter Island.
Big twist at the end is that it's not real, right?
Yeah.
He, and everybody's in on it. And is it Mark Ruffalo's his therapist?
Oh, because
I was thinking, what if? I mean, I don't think they're gonna do the exact same story, but what if this is Harley is pretending to be a patient as a way to connect with him?
I didn't mean to do that, I just thought of it. You know, and I had the notion too when I was watching it of like, what if Harley's in his head? Because you know, I think there was an element.
That would be cool too.
Yeah, or is he in her head? You know, is here's the hot one I just concocted right now.
Yeah.
He died in the first movie in that final credit scene where you see the orderlies chasing him around.
Yeah.
And she's a fan, and she's manifesting him.
Dude, this is all.
I think that's it. Jordan cracked the movie.
I did it. You don't need to see it.
You don't need to see it.
Yeah, we saved you guys some time. Yeah. Or in a true Todd Phillips Joker fashion, they do all these things.
Every one of these is told,
and now we get to pick our favorite ending.
Yeah.
It's like the end of American Fiction.
And this is all happening in Jared Leto's head.
Jared Leto comes back.
Confirmed. And then it ends with him saying, we live. We live in a society.
We live in a society.
Snyderverse is back. Confirmed.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, restore the Snyderverse, please.
Bring it back.
Yeah. What are we watching this shit for? God.
Antelda pointing out in the chat, the song in the trailer is Tom Jones and Sammy Davis Jr.'s What the World Needs Now.
Oh, it's great. Awesome. We were wondering that.
Yeah, I was thinking it was Burt Bacharach from Austin Powers.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, maybe they'll do a little bit of this. I know Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett did a lot together.
They did
a lot of those great old show tunes. Yeah, so maybe there'll be a little Tony Bennett needle drop.
Cool. That could be fun. Kobe, I was looking through the questions right now. Kobe Wan Kenobi did say a few things related to like the kind of like alternate, like the twist that we're pitching. I think it does seem like it's definitely a possibility. And then I wanted to end on this question. AssassinPH77 asking, do you think we might get an ending similar to Joker 1 that is left to a bit of self-interpretation, or do we get some more sinister ending or really anything different? Feels like maybe, you know, it's nice to keep stuff like this open, right?
Yeah.
Not to close the book too hard on anything, just to leave it open-ended, self-interpret. You know, that way anyone can pick up the character at any time. But in this
and you can kind of take
world.
What you want from it. But what I would argue that it was both sinister and open-ended.
Yeah, the last one.
When it ended open-ended, it's like, oh God, what did we just watch? Yes, like what happened?
Yeah.
And it kind of felt eerie and weird. And so I think they could easily do that.
Yeah. It could. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And you know, I do kind of remember in some of the marketing for the original Joker, there was a lot of like, this is it. We're not doing a franchise.
But that was
opening weekend.
Yeah, unless it does $1 billion. Yeah, exactly. But I swear, we didn't plan that.
So, and I think, you know, and who is ever really dead in comic book stuff?
Yeah.
But,
gosh.
I think they would be silly to close this one.
I think it might end in its own like sick happy way with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With Harley and Joker being like together, but it's like, bad, but it's good for them.
Yeah, like maybe
bad for everyone.
They think they've conquered the world, but they're actually like now in some other like cell or something.
Right. Or maybe it'll end like The Graduate, where them like they're happy, but then it'll end with them being like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
What's the point of all this? Yeah. Exactly. Just sitting with their thoughts or something like that.
Or she, you know, Harley looks out the window and sees Poison Ivy and it's like, who's that?
Yeah. She seems nice. I want to be her friend.
Joel Plants. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. I love
that. What's that about?
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. I would love to see. Yeah. And if you guys, I guess last thing here, if you guys did see and want to see any other interpretation of a DC character in this in this world,
who fits? I mean, you know, it would be funny just to see the wackiest, dumbest DC character in this, like Zeke the Living Sponge or Condiment King.
Yeah, exactly. Or like Clockmaster or, Kite Man.
Kite Man would be great to see all of.
Kite Man would be a good one.
Possibly an Easter egg. Keep your eyes out. See if there's someone
in the kite.
Oh, God.
That would be fun.
I think I would love it if it were like a little bit more organic than like, well, the show Gotham, which was great. They felt like they shoehorned so many people in just to have them like Edward Nygma happens to be working here and Zaz does this and everyone was just there, so to have it be someone in the background maybe in the Arkham or have it be like a guy selling kites on the side of the road,
something that if you don't know it doesn't matter, but
if you see it it's cool and you can interpret your own thing, but again because they're Joaquin and Todd Phillips are like, this is not a franchise. We don't want to tie into anything. I think they're gonna purposefully not do any of that.
Nothing too overt.
Catwoman would be great, though. It'd be great to see a Catwoman somehow.
Catwoman would be great. That would be great. Halle Berry, maybe.
Going back one more time. Give her a chance.
Yeah.
If we're lucky.
Yeah.
God forbid. Yes. Yeah. Yes. God willing.
God willing.
Leave a comment. Let us know what you think of the trailer and who you want to see in show up in this film, if they were to. That's it for us today. Make sure to subscribe to the Break Room channel on YouTube and give us a follow on Twitch where we do videos like these or like this live. Do you guys have anything you want to plug before we wrap up here?
You can follow me on Tom on the Mic on all the socials, and thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, I'll do my requisite, and then I'll do a fun one.
Nice.
I have a graphic novel coming out this summer. It's called Youth Group. It is a YA horror comedy about teenage exorcists. Art by the great Bowen McGurdy. You can pre-order this now, bit.ly/youthgroupbook. Check out all the cool art. You can get all your pre-order links there, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get a book. And if you're in the LA area, I will be signing comics, not Youth Group because it's not out yet, but other comics I've done. I will be signing comics at Golden Apple Comics this Sunday, noon to 2.
Whoa,
nice. And that's part of a big signing event they have with a bunch of other cool creators. Who do we got? We got Elliot Kalin, we got Casey Gilley, we got Amy Chase, a lot of cool people there signing a lot of cool books. So come out to Golden Apple Comics 12 to 2 this Sunday.
And then you can run across the street and get a Pink's hot dog.
You can get a Pink's if you want to.
Take a picture of that big Spider-Man outside.
Yeah. Get your picture with the Golden Apple Spider-Man. Exactly. LA legend on par with Angelina.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Perhaps more.
Sure, yeah.
And it's a Tobey Maguire one, too. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, nice. Hell yeah. All right. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our Break Room live streams at Break Room NR on Twitch at 3 p.m. Pacific. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube.